Tlingit textile artist Terry Rothkar died in Sitka on December 2nd. 2 years ago, she sat down with Erica Apathy, then a college student, to discuss growing up between Sitka and Pelican. Apathy has agreed to allow us to broadcast that interview this morning.
Hi, this is Erica Apathy speaking with Terry Rothkar, a longtime local resident, about how Sitka has changed in the past 35 years.
Terry Rothkar. I actually grew up here in Alaska. My grandmother was born here in Sitka in the 1800s, and I spent most of my time when I was younger, my summers in Pelican and my winters in Anchorage. So in 76, a couple of years after Danny and I got married, we moved to Sitka. So yeah, Sitka's home.
So tell me about the grocery stores. I heard fruit was pretty expensive.
Yeah, exactly. There was a $25 watermelon. I can't remember when it was, but I know it was when my kids were really little. And it was like there was a watermelon in town, and it was summer and it was sunny. And because they are heavy, it was really expensive, and it was $25 for one watermelon, and it wasn't even really that big, but it was such a treat to have. And I think those are the kind of things that you take for granted nowadays, getting some of those kind of things. We'd walk down to Lakeside, and it was right where CarQuest is there now, right at the sort of the roundabout. And we'd walk down, because on Thursdays, they'd get in their new cereals. And so we'd go down and find out what the new cereal was that week. And you usually had about three choices, so it was great.
Everyone knows how communication is such a big part of today's society. How was it different 35 years ago?
There was a lot more letter writing. I think when I first came to Sitka, I came and I was going to visit Mike Guire, because I knew Mike from Pelican. And so I was like, well, Mike, we're coming in on a boat. And he's like, oh, no problem. I'll leave a note, top of the dock. So at the top of every single dock, at that time there was Thompson, Old Thompson, A and B, Sealing Cove wasn't there, and Crescent. And he left notes at the top of every dock. There wasn't a bulletin board, but he left a note there with his phone number, and I was able to get a hold of him that way. Yeah, it was just a little different, a little lower keyed at that time. Yeah.
What about the first live TV broadcast?
That was like in 76, and it was the fireworks for the 4th of July, because it was the centennial of the country. Yeah. So everybody got to watch the live fireworks. That was the priority. I found that interesting that it wasn't like an event or anything. It was just like these fireworks from Washington, D.C. And I'm like, really? I mean, like, this is really cool, but there we go. That was the big thing, were the fireworks. And of course, it was a obscure time of the night because it was live. Yeah. Mm. So it was just a little different time of night here than it was during the time in D.C. So I remember Raven Radio wasn't here. We just had KIFW, and in the nighttime over in Pelican, you'd be able to pick up the skip, and it was just like, you'd look forward to that time when you could turn on the radio and listen to it.
Can you talk about any cultural differences between 35 years ago and now?
Cultural differences then and now? Mm-hmm. I think just, of all things, there was a lot more invisibility of the native culture, for sure. And if you didn't look that native, you definitely were not going to identify yourself with that group at all, because of the prejudice that was still there. I remember, like, when we were going to Pelican at one point, we stopped in Juneau, and we weren't allowed to stay at the Baranoff because there were no, and they still had the sign up that said no Indians and no dogs allowed. And it seriously was that way. I still try not to stay at the Baranoff if I can help it. It's kind of fun to see the variety, the texture now with people identifying with the Norwegian or the, you know, the different kind of cultural groups that they come from. And it's kind of neat. Yeah. And of course, the native culture too. So, yeah.
I heard that when the pulp mill was open, it was really stinky. Would you mind talking more about that?
Yeah, it was. And also when you'd go run a boat or if you were kayaking or anything, when you, the wake or where your paddle was, the water was just brown. It was just gross, even right off of Crescent Harbor. Of course, there used to be a beach there too. So, but the harbor was there just before Denny and I moved here. They built the harbor and the bridge was brand new too. It was really exciting to get that new bridge. But yeah, and very few people went out Sawmill Creek at all. There was no housing out that way anywhere. You know, you think about the hillside where Arrowhead is. There was nothing, just that logged off area where the Russians had logged, and it was a lot more visible then. And then the air was so bad, and if the wind was blowing right, it'd just be really bad in town. So it's kind of nice to not have that. Yeah, it was a little different here in Sitka.
What was the Bart Circle and Charles Street neighborhood like 35 years ago?
Oh, yeah, the neighborhood wasn't even here. The pulp mill built this neighborhood, and in fact, someone across the street just yesterday, I think he was saying, well, we're going to do a little logging. How many trees do you have in your yard? And I think he was feeling really kind of self-conscious that he was going to trim some trees. I'm like, well, we didn't have any trees. It was just gravel. So much of this was gravel. Right in my little front yard there, I had the only spruce tree until you got down to by Swan Lake. There were no spruce trees up here because of the kind of neighborhood. It was just hemlock and cedar and bull pine. There was a lot of bull pine. And now you find the bull pine is kind of struggling a little bit, and there's a lot more spruce trees. So, yeah. Whoops, Danielle, I'll grab it upstairs. Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, there were a lot more spruce trees. The other thing is, we never had a problem with bears. I didn't know, you know, the kids, we'd all just hike around the neighborhood, and if there was a bear that came in town, they'd, you know, it would get shot. But there wasn't the kind of bear problem that we have now. We had a garbage dump, and I remember when the kids were really little, we had to watch one summer because there was a pack of wild dogs up on Gavin, and that was a problem. They kept coming into this little neighborhood because the garbage dump was over by Kim Sham. But no, the bears never came in, and now it's just such a common thing, and it's really unusual. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think there's just a lot of bears.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I guess I think it's sometimes the small day-to-day stuff that really makes an impact on sort of the Alaskan culture. Because I think the self-sufficiency that we had, whether it was food or, I mean, there was always a boat that came through, at least in Pelican too. But Gus Davis was the best spot in Southeast for growing, gardening. And so there were people that gardened over there, and they brought boats around to all of Southeast and sold their wares, sort of like Schland does with the ferry and trucks, only this was grown here. So just different kind of connections with the northern part of Alaska. And I think now we sort of affiliate ourselves more with the, you know, sort of Seattle kind of an area. So we're just about in between, but I noticed because of the way so much of the economics is built on a road system, that if you're not on a road system, we're kind of left out. When you think about the really historical, I mean, this is kind of going back, but when the Russians and the Spanish and the British were all coming, we were cutting edge because the way you traveled was by boat. So Sitka was really primary, and then the river systems were huge. But now that it's all road systems, it has changed the sort of the economic map of where the things that are happening that are important are. Yeah, so kind of interesting. And how much of that has been a good thing? And I think Sitka's lovely in that we're starting to come back to that self-sufficiency with the dam and the hydro and some of the things that we're doing that's going to make it healthier for us all around. So it's kind of interesting the way it kind of makes a big full circle. So thanks for asking, though, because some of the things I just don't think about, and it's always nice to have those little markers to realize how far we've come and what direction we want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
With that, well, goodness, sheesh. Good job, Erica.
Thank you.
Yeah.
From Sitka, Alaska, I'm Erica Apathy, and this has been an interview with Terry Rothkar, a longtime Sitka resident, talking about how Sitka has changed in the past 35 years, recorded on the 28th of April, 2014.
And that was Erica Apathy interviewing Tlingit textile artist Terry Rothkar for a college project 2 years ago. Many thanks to Erica for allowing us to broadcast the interview. Terry Rothkar died on December 2nd. A celebration of her life will be held at 1 p.m. on Sunday, December 18th in the Odess Theater on the Sheldon Jackson Fine Arts Campus.